Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, 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 hello. Good night, good evening, good something. It's good to have you join me on the couch. I am Rev J, the host of Couch Conversation. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody. Always available to you via our website, BakiMinistries.com. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Google+, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah, we're all across the World Wide Web, reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are into episode 6 of our Guilt and Shame series. Yes, and it has been deep and has been interesting, and we've had different guests come in. But here's one of the main reasons why we're doing it. Guilt and shame are two pieces of emotional baggage. And what happens for a lot of people is that we carry this baggage around with us almost to a point like a badge of honor, and it's not necessary because you cannot really fully grasp what's ahead of you, what's in store for you, and what is truly meant for you if you are holding on to stuff that is not yours. So why isn't guilt and shame yours? I'm so glad you asked, because they're negative things. So with Blessed and Know It Ministries, one of our premises, you know, one of our taglines is life is worth living and living out loud. But here's the thing, in order for you to live out loud, to live on purpose beyond the moment, you kind of have to have a plan for that. You kind of have to know where you're going. You kind of have to have a life map, and that's one of the things that, you know, we develop with our clients. Where have you been? Where are you now? And where are you going? And so one of the best ways to fly or to travel is most carefree as possible. Like, I know a lot of people like to pre-pack and you want to make sure you got this and you have that. But sometimes when you just really need to get away, just throw a couple of this, throw a couple of that, and just go. Get in the car, take that road trip, buy that ticket, commit yourself to a flight out of town, and just go. And the same thing is true in life. But yet when we're weighed down with these emotional bags of guilt and shame, are we really carefree to enjoy all that life has for us? And I'm not saying, because I'm one of our other guests, but I have some good points about guilt and shame and how sometimes there's not enough of it in the world. Yeah, I get that. You know, some people don't want to take accountability or responsibility for a lot of the choices that they're making. They don't feel guilty because they don't feel any shame about their behavior. Yeah, I can see that too. But then there's a lot of people who carry around guilt and emotional stuff, especially, since this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, especially people who are the victim carry around guilt and shame for the stuff that happened to them. To me, that doesn't make sense. And somewhere within us, we know that it doesn't make sense, because if you're blaming yourself for someone else's transgression, it's not your fault. That's not even your emotional baggage to carry. Someone else was the perpetrator. Someone else did something to you, like even if you was a child, and this terrible thing happened to you. And you start blaming yourself, oh, I should have done it. And you're blaming yourself, and you're carrying that for years, unchecked. Like, it's nothing to have, it's nothing to check luggage. That's a whole other issue, but hold on. And you're carrying this unchecked. That comes out. That comes out in your work. That comes out on the job. That comes out in traffic. That comes out in your relationships. That comes out in how you talk to yourself. Because when the good things do come to you, and when wonderful things are coming your way, you can accept the goodness because you're still holding on to the negativity. I really don't deserve this good relationship because if I was good, you know, that bad thing wouldn't happen to me. Look, bad things happen to good people all the time. Look, the things that you do or have done are the things that you're responsible for. The things that someone else did to you that you could not help, that you were defenseless against, that is not something that you need to continue to carry guilt and shame for. It was not yours to carry. It is not yours to carry. learn the lesson, let it go, leave that baggage for someone else. It's not that simple. You don't understand. This is what I understand. I am a survivor of childhood trauma. There were some traumatic things that happened to me in my childhood. Absolutely positive. Yes. Traumatizing. Have they shown up again in my adult life? Are there certain patterns that I'm seeing in my life or I have seen in my life based upon, you know, the past things that happened? Are there certain baggages that I carry? So now, even after, what, 12, 13, 15, 17? I don't even know how long I've been married. After all these years of marriage, and my husband will come to me, he'll say something positive and wonderful, and part of me feel like, yeah, but did you see this part? Did you notice that? Like, dang, I didn't even watch the dishes, honey. Stop, you know, stop complimenting me. Stop doing this. And I am downplaying the good stuff that he's bringing because there's still a part of me that doesn't feel worthy of the praise that he's bringing to me. Now, mind you, this man is my husband. This is a whole other type of relationship than that wifey stuff you see on TV. It's a relationship that we have worked very hard to maintain, to respect, to have order in. And still, after 16, 17 years, I'm still having difficulties with it. And the difficulties I have, I can even point to, like, oh, it comes from this or it stems from that. And I, by no means, have low self-esteem about who Jasheen is. I'm very secure in that. But every now and then, things from my past will rise up. And if I don't deal with this and just squash them out and learn how to say, you know what, thank you. I appreciate that. Or I receive that based upon what someone else wants to give to me, then I'm shortchanging myself. So let's look at this first. I don't know how many of you used to roll coins when you were younger. I guess it's a thing of the past. A lot of people don't do it now. It's good for pennies, nickels, quarters, and dimes. But anyhow, when you roll coins when you're younger, on the outside of the coin wrapper, I think it's dime wrappers, are $2, which means once you get to that $2 mark within the wrapper, it's a very limited amount of space. You really can't get any more dimes out like you could, but why would you? So you really can't. And so it's a little snug fit. Fold down the sides of it, bow, that's $2. So let's just look at your life. Let's just say you were allotted $2 worth of goodness and mercy, happiness, those two things, goodness, mercy, and happiness, right? But then here comes somebody with their nickels trying to put it into your dime wrapper. Oh, darn, I've got to take out one dime to equal two nickels. All right, here go two nickels of negativity. Put them on in. Oh, what if they bring you something else? Up, hatred, animosity, up, two more nickels. I got to take out one dime for every two nickels. Up, here comes somebody else. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve that. You're this. You're that. Up, here's negativity. Those are pennies. Now you got to take out one dime but put in 10 pennies. It doesn't fit. You do not have the capacity for negativity and positivity in the same area. When we're younger, we didn't always make the best decisions. Especially if our abuse, our trauma came from someone we respected or someone who had a position of authority. So we took what they were giving us. We took the nickels. We took the pennies. It became part of what we were wrapped up in and who we were. Like, I'm still at $2. I guess I'm still whole. But my $2 is now made up of these big, fat nickels, which don't really fit. It's also made up of all these pennies. Compared to the one dime I did have, it doesn't really fit, but I'm still at $2, so I'm good, I guess. And so later on when we're busting out the seams and we're running over and we've got anger and we've got bad coping skills and we got food addictions or drug addictions or whatever your addiction or choice is, like, where does that come from? Let's pinpoint it. Let's look at the past. Let's look at the patterns of behavior in your life. Oh, so this did happen. Okay. That does not make you a bad person because that incident happened in your life. What we have right now, this moment, is to decide to trade in those pennies, all 10 of them, and get back the one dime. We have to trade in those nickels, both of those thick old nickels, for that one dime. And we have to find out what really fits because who are you without the pennies? Who are you without the nickels? You're still a valued person. You're still a valuable person. You have to decide, you know what? You're right. I'm a whole case of dimes. All $2, that's me. I don't want any more pennies in my life. I don't want any more nickels in my life. Not that there's anything wrong with coins. I'm just saying for visual sake. I don't want any more nickels in my life. I don't want the sickness and this animosity and this negativity. I don't want that. Yes, these things happened to me. At the time, I didn't know better, so I couldn't do any better. At the time, I was young and I was defenseless. I couldn't do better. At the time, I was blinded by love because, honey, that fool's gold love, that false love, that infatuation, that puppy love, what have you, blinded? And not like, you know, racetrack horse with the blinders on the side. I'm talking Ray Charles glasses blinded. Thick blackness, only a little bit of light covering your sides, your peripheral vision, covering your front vision, covering your rear vision. You just blinded. Like, all you see is this little sliver of light that points to that one person because you're so in love. But if you're in love with someone who is toxic, sick, negative, unhealthy, doesn't have the skills that they need to be a whole person on their own, and they bring all of that over to you, then what does that mean? You're looking at this person like, oh, my gosh, I'm so in love. This is a relationship. And this is going to be great. This is going to be whatever. And we're going to ride off into the sunset together. And as you go through the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows and the negativity and the positivity, you have to come to a point within yourself where you lay it all out. And you decide, you know what, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? What are the pros? What am I getting from this type of relationship? What am I giving in this type of relationship? Are they kind of equal? Because I'm giving out all of this, and I'm only getting this. Somebody's being shortchanged. And I don't. You wouldn't accept, this is another way to look at it, you would not accept being shortchanged at any fast food place, but you'll accept being shortchanged in your personal life because you feel like you don't deserve better than what you are getting, because of something you may have done or may have been done to you in the past. That's the stuff we need to let go of. It's not fair to you to hold yourself to where you were. It's not fair to your future that you don't show up a whole person ready to go. The only good thing about carrying that type of emotional baggage is that you build up some sort of endurance. So when all that goodness comes, all that excess love and affection and respect and abundance comes to you, now you have the capacity to hold it because you've let go of everything that you were dragging and carrying that was part of your story. You have been freed from that because you've come to the realization that you are worth more and you deserve more. And if you've not come to that realization yet, inbox me. Let us help you help yourself to see that you really are worth all of that. You are worth healthy friendships. You are worth healthy co-working relationships. You are worth respect. You are worth dignity. You are, because you are created in the image of one who is worth that. And so if you can acknowledge, you know, where you come from spiritually, I don't even want to get into the DNA side of that, but if you can acknowledge where you come from spiritually, that within your body there is a life force that is greater than any physical representation. Like, we can't even describe it. Like, scientists have been trying for years to try to put a label on the soul and the spirit of the body, and they've tried to measure it down to grams and ounces, that when you breathe out your last breath, that there's still, like, 23 ounces that's inside you that they can't account for. But then all of a sudden, it's not there anymore. Like, wait, what happened? Where'd the spirit go? Where'd the soul go? See, there's a life force inside of you that's greater than your beating heart and greater than your brain activity. And that force inside of you is always going to tell you the truth, not going to lie to you because it wants your best interest. You are really the incubator for that. And as you walk through life and you learn to listen to that voice that's inside of you, that life that's inside of you, that spirit that's inside of you, that soul that's inside of you, as you learn to listen to that voice, and then be confident in what that voice is telling you, because why would that voice put you in harm's way? If you're the incubator, you're the carrying agent of this life force, why would it say, honey, we need to get with Debo over there so he can lay us out every weekend? You don't need all 32 of your teeth. You can make it with 26. You can make it with 23. Girl, black eyes are normal. You shouldn't yell at him. You shouldn't pop off at him. Your life force isn't going to tell you that. Oh, I'm picking myself off the floor. Oh, this isn't even a relationship for me. Let me go ahead and unpack my bags. Let me be strategic about this. I know a lot of y'all have seen What's Love Got to Do with It. She waited. The old boy was asleep. Got her clothes on, took the kids, and left. Fortunately, when she made that exit strategy, she informed someone on the other end who just told the perpetrator where she was going and how to find her. But when you make an exit strategy for negativity or from negativity, you got to be clear and concise about, okay, this is where I'm going. This is my money I'm putting to the side. You know what? I may have to fight back on this situation. I may just have to walk away from certain things. There are certain things I may want to keep. The same is true with guilt and shame. You know what? I sure did. I did that. So that means you own up to what you did. That means, you know what, you take accountability and responsibility. And just because you say, you know what, I'm sorry, I apologize for what I did, everyone may not be in a place to receive that. And you have to be okay with that, because all you can do at the end of the day is what you can do. So if you can say, you know what, I apologize, I would like the opportunity to do better. Whether or not they receive it, walk in your truth and be a better version of yourself, and that will show people. Because some people take time. Boy, do some people take time. Some people take time to, you know, accept that you may be a changed person, that you may be a different person. It may take a couple of times of you coming back for that person. But if you're really truthful and you're really genuine when you say it, your spirit connects with that other person's spirit. And they may watch you for a minute and be like, you know what? I didn't want to accept your apology at first, but I see that you're trying to do different. I see something different in you. And so, you know, I accept that apology. I may not mess with you the same. You know, they may not be your best bud after that. But just the fact that you did the part that you had to do. So if you're the perpetrator, the guilty person, cool. Acknowledge it. Let's move forward. Let's make plans to be different. Because it's okay not to be the same person you were 10 years ago. I don't know why people are like, you changed. Yeah, that's the plan. I don't want to be the same person I was 10 years ago. What do I look like thinking 20-year-old thoughts, acting like a 20-year-old when I'm 30? Okay, so I'm 39. So at 29 and 39, I'm just saying I was in a different place. I hadn't been married as long as I was. My kids aren't as old as they are. One of my daughters wasn't even been here. So it's a different perspective. I don't have the credential. I wouldn't have had the credentials I have, the life experience, the job experience. Come on out there. Just things that happen to you. You should be different. You should strive to be different, because life is this wonderful journey. And if you stay awake for it and stop hiding and underneath the bags of guilt and feel like, woe is me. Oh, I don't deserve this. I'm just going to stay in the four walls and no one's ever going to know how bad I feel and no one checks on me. Whine, whine, whine. Complain, complain, whine. Shut up. All of it. Shut up. Because no one wants to hear that. You're not making any efforts to change. You're not living your life out loud. You're merely existing, and you're wasting whatever time you have here doing the same silly stuff, holding yourself accountable for stuff that, one, you probably couldn't change. And if you could change, or, buddy, if you can change it now, you don't, that's your fault. I'm not trying to call names. I'm not trying to pick with people. But I just found that incredibly unintelligent. And you would be surprised that the people with all these credentials behind their name who are still hiding behind some guilt and shame from some stuff that happened in 1832, 1970, and so on, 2001. And they're still hiding behind it. And it's 2017, October 2017. Let it go. Either change or shut up. How many people, like, let me get this go. In the springtime, because I think it's springtime when they come out, how many caterpillars just sit around and be like, man, I wish I could fly, and just stay a caterpillar? No, if you wish you could fly and you're a caterpillar, then what do? You go into a cocoon, and then you do what you have to do inside the cocoon, the transformation that needs to happen. You do that. You do whatever work has to be done. Then you work your way out of the cocoon. And then what are you? You're no longer a caterpillar. You are a butterfly. Look at that. The same is true for us. We're walking around with this guilt and shame, guilt and shame. Woe is me. I feel bad. This happened. That happened. Yada, yada, yada. You're not the only person that's ever been through it. Do not ever believe that lie. You are not alone in your feelings. Don't believe that lie. Here's the other thing about, you know, the caterpillar, the immersion, becoming all that. When you are miserable, misery loves company. So when you're miserable, somehow or another, it attracts other miserable people to you. So if you are surrounded by miserable people, you might want to start checking what you're carrying around. Yeah, because it's not, they're not coming to you because you're on a happy parade. Like, I love it. There are certain days where I just have so much joy that negative people don't even call me. I love it because I'm free. I don't have time for that. Thank you for not even thinking of my number. I appreciate that. So you have to get to a place where, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to be accountable for what I did. You know, if you let me, I'll try to make amends. If not, you know, I'm cool loving you from a distance. You cool loving me from a distance? All right, cool. As long as we got love, we're going to be all right. Everything is not always going to end in a Disney song and dance. It just is not. We are grown people, and we all have, you know, issues. We have emotions. We have feelings. And some things, some people just choose not to get past. And so if they want to hold you to what you used to be, you have to let them, hey, you're going to be all right, but you're going to be all right over there. You no longer get a front seat to my life because you were choosing to continue to bring up stuff that happened 127 years ago. I cannot be accountable for that if I've already apologized, if I've tried to make amends, or if you're just stuck in your emotional growth, because that could also be a possibility. Like, okay, so you made your amends. You said you were sorry. You are living differently. Someone else who is stuck in their emotional growth, being miserable, may try to bring you back to where you used to. Boy, remember when we used to talk? That was some good. No. Yeah, I do remember it. I don't want to keep lingering there. Because the other thing about guilt and shame is it really only exists in our mind. In between your two ears is powerhouse. And whatever you're replaying, that's what you're going to keep attracting. Dang, I did her wrong. I did her dirty. I shouldn't have cheated. I shouldn't have messed. I shouldn't have done this. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. You can continue to call yourself those things, and you can continue to label yourself that way, and you can continue to replay and replay and replay after replay after replay after replay. Don't you get tired of hearing the same thing? Then start saying something different about yourself. You would be surprised at the power of self-talk, how freeing it can be to call yourself and become something different, a better version of your true self, how freeing it can be to be that butterfly. You know, I have worked my way out of this cocoon. No one cut me out. I didn't slip out. I have transformed, and I have worked my way through this. I am a new creature. So let's go to the religious aspect of it, because you know, I was going to say something spiritual before the show was over. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. There is therefore now no condemnation. These are scriptures. These are true things. Like, if you choose to give your life over to the man named Jesus, who has come to be the Son of God, the propitiation of our sins, if you decide to make that choice and then you still are replaying the guilt and shame, you didn't fully make that choice. You didn't fully commit to the program. The program says you have to do A, B, and C. If the Son has set you free, bam, you are free indeed. If he said, you know what, I'm gonna take the stripes for you. I'm gonna take the beatings for you. I'm going to stand in your place where sin has, where you have been found guilty in this area. I will stand in the gaps for you. I will be you, and you can be me. We can reign in heavenly places and be seated in heavenly places. We can do that flip flop, and it's gonna be okay because you know what, I make all things new. So if you've taken that walk, you've accepted that lifestyle, then you need to go ahead on and walk in that freeness, walk in that newness, and be who you were really meant to be. We were never meant to be bogged down with the negative emotions of guilt and shame. We were never meant to walk around being always guilty, always shameful. If we are to come boldly before the throne of grace, how can we come boldly before a throne of grace? And you are just like, woe is me, I am so sorry. And you label yourself by what society says you should label yourself by your behaviors. See, that's the other thing. Behaviors are behaviors, people are people. That's just like people are like, oh my gosh, that's such a bad child. Can I have a bad child? You can have a child who has some negative behaviors. You cannot have a bad child. The same way you cannot have a bad adult. Oh, now you can make some bad choices. You can make some negative choices in your life, but you cannot be a bad person. Okay, you did that. I get it. Okay, so let me give you a case in point. So there was a time in my life where I, because I'll just tell my own stuff, it's fine, where I might have, no, where I did partake of some stuff that may or may not have been, you know, necessarily legal at the time. And so as I'm partaking of this stuff, people who also partake of similar substances may have considered themselves or called themselves alcoholics. If you're doing this particular behavior on a regular, consistent basis, you must be an alcoholic. But here's the thing, if you're doing this and you're underage, then that's where, you know, the legal ramifications come in. But because I started drinking at a very young age, I built up a higher tolerance than a lot of people. I thought that was a badge of honor in my social set, so I met some other heavyweights who were way better at it than me. But neither here nor there. Had I chose to accept the label of, you know what, girl, you're an alcoholic, then you know what, I might have started to live up to that. But I did not accept that label because I was like, no, I just know how to handle what I consume. And I know how to walk in that and walk away from that. It does not consume me, put all my money on it. I refuse and reject that label. And then I just happened to marry a man who's like, I don't drink, I don't do any of that. So therefore, if I was an alcoholic and I couldn't bring it into my house, then I'd have to sneak it. It just wasn't worth it. And so therefore, I haven't had alcohol in my home in, what, 17 years, and I haven't consumed any alcohol in excess in, like, 20 years. So can't really be an alcoholic. There was a point in time where, you know what, other people might have labeled me as such, like, as a person who likes to indulge in alcohol, who has different types of behavior when they're under the influence, however you want to label it, it's whatever. That's what I did back then, no longer who I am, no longer what I do, and I don't carry any guilt and shame about that. Now, there are some pictures of me partaking of adult beverages being underage that my daughters have seen in their teenage years, and they're like, Mom, what's this? I'm like, what does the label say? That's what it is. And so then I have to fully explain to them, this is where I was, this is what I did, this is what I expect from you. And so then the conversation will go on, be like, how can you expect something of me that you weren't willing to do for yourself? And I was like, you know what? That's almost a good point, except for the fact that at this age, I know this. And so since I've shared all of these health issues with you, since I've shared the personal stories with you, since we have other examples in our life and in our family, and you have seen these first and second hand, then you know what? You make your choices accordingly, but you've been armed with all the knowledge that you need. And you can't hold me to that path because that's what I did. It is. There's pictures of it. It's true. I did it. I'll own up to it. The pictures verified. There it is. Now, if you choose to make the same choices, that's on you. If you choose to make different choices, that's on you because you have been armed with wisdom, you've been armed with knowledge, and now the choice is yours. And sometimes that's hard for a lot of parents and just people in general to really get to that point because we do certain things at certain stages of our life, and then we have children, and then our children are like, hey, you did this, da, da, da. And how can you tell me? Because as for me in my house, this is what we do. Now, when you're outside of my house and you're grown, and you're paying your own bills, and you choose to make those choices, that's on you. But if you're under this roof, you're still a part of this team, and these are the rules and regulations of the team and the family. Okay? Okay. See how easy it is to set up boundaries in your house? But it comes from open and honest discussions, which also comes from having a relationship with your children. Before you can have a relationship with your children or anyone else, you have to have a healthy relationship with yourself. How do you have a healthy relationship with yourself? You have to start off acknowledging where you are in life. And again, that goes back to the life coach. That goes back to working with someone that can help you map this out. This is where you've been. This is where you are. This is where you're going. That's just like sending out a financial planner when you're trying to buy a house. They're going to look at your credit history, your spending history. They're going to look at your income, where you are now. They're going to help set up, okay, well, based upon this and your credit, this is what you can afford. Let's make the plan to move forward. Same thing in life. Like, we take all of these opportunities to do it for our businesses and do it for our finances and do it for our education,
But we are not sitting down making these life plans. And in your plan, you have to free yourself from the stuff that was holding you back. So if I go to my financial planner and say, hey, I want to buy a house, I want to buy it in the next 6 months, they're going to say, that credit right there, this is what we have to do. We have to move this, da, 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 da. Here's the plan. So when you work with a real life coach, they should be telling you the same thing. Okay, so this is where you want to be? Okay, cool. This is the plan. This is how we're going to get there. Bam, 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 bam. If you want to get there fast, cool. If you want to get there and make it last, this is what we need to do. And the other thing is we're looking for all these fast results, you know, to free us from guilt and shame so we can move forward in our life or to free us from whatever bonds or binds or whatever from the past. You know what? Sometimes it's not going to be snap, boom, bam, that easy. This is not Walt Disney. You don't have a fairy godparent saying bippity-boppity-boo. Sometimes we're going to have to tell you the same thing 427 times in order for it to sink in. But if you got a real friend, a good life coach, someone in your corner, they're willing to tell you 427 times until it sinks in. I have a wonderful person in my life, and I've known this person for almost a year. Every week I tell this person pretty much the same thing. You are lovable. You deserve respect. You deserve to be in a healthy relationship for almost a year. 7 months, maybe 7 months in, this person starts to actually believe that. Yeah, I'm okay, but I do this. Yeah, I'm okay, but I've done this. Yeah, I'm okay. So finally, around month 7, this person's like, you know what? You might be right. I might be shortchanging myself. So I'm like, absolutely. Now, in this time period of almost a year, like 10 months that we've known each other, this person may catch on this week, and then next week she may need to hear the same thing over again. And you know what? I've accepted that that's my role in her life, to continue to pour into her, because life will give you deficits. And if you don't have anyone pouring into you, you believe that you are just that deficit. But if you keep surrounding yourself with someone who's telling you the exact same positive thing, you might want to start to believe this. Or you also want to examine why you don't believe that about yourself. How is it that this person who's only known you for 10 months, 12 months, 2 years can see something in you that you've been with yourself your whole life doesn't see? Because you're looking through a twisted perspective, because you're looking through like a kaleidoscope, and you see all the fragments and pieces of you, and it's not making this pretty picture. And this person's looking through a telescope, and they're like, hey, you are shining so bright. You are glistening. You, oh my gosh, look at your point. Look at your angles. Look, that is so great. You do this really well. You know what? You're doing a wonderful job. You made one whole step forward today. I'm so proud of you. If you don't have that type of person in your life, you also need to examine your circle, because you can't be the only person, you know, spewing positivity to other people and not have people spewing that back to you. That's out of order, because remember, the law says, the law of seed time and harvest says that as a man sows, so shall he also reap. But the law of having a round earth says whatever you put out comes back to you. Some people call that karma. So if you're constantly putting it out and it's not coming back to you, that means there's a blockage. That means you need to go ahead on and get some life liquid Drano for that blockage right on up. What is life liquid Drano? That's where you take some time off from everything, a retreat, a weekend away, check into a hotel, do something to separate yourself and evaluate where you are. Like, okay, you know what? I let things go off here. I let things go off there. Let me go ahead on and get right. Let me go ahead on and do what I need to do so that I can be in a better place. How can you really have a husband that you appreciate if you're still holding on to someone else's husband? How can you have a good, positive, healthy self-image if you're still looking at yourself from a broken mirror? How can you have real friends in your life if you're not being a friend? How can you get new friends in your life if you had to cut some people off? These are all very good questions, and we're all punishing yourself by replaying the negativity in your life, and you've got to free yourself and challenge yourself to be a better version of you. And it may take 10 months. It may take 12 months. It may take 2 years. It doesn't matter how long it takes, as long as you start the journey. And if you haven't started the journey yet, tonight is a great night to start that journey. Because you know what? You can sit here and punish yourself till the cows come home, till Jesus cracked the sky, until the wheel in the middle of a wheel returns, or whatever you choose to believe in, till the witch comes riding on your back, whatever. You know, you can do that if you want to, but why? Why do you want to continue that negativity? What's the benefit of that? Like, I just don't understand people who hold themselves to the negative or to the past, or want to pin the blame solely on yourself. In pretty much every situation, there's more than one person to blame. Now, again, if you are the victim of abuse, I'm not talking to you. If you were violated in any sort of way, I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking about, like, everyday stuff, not the extremes, not the dramatics. Don't think I'm downplaying anything, because it's all deep, and we choose to cover over our scars or let them heal. The better choice is to let that scar heal, to uncover it, let that air get into it, let some healing ointment over top of that, some good coconut oil works really well, and it lightens your scars, and they kind of blend in, and then you have these stories to tell, but that's a whole other issue. But the thing is, we want to kind of like, oh, my gosh, this loss was so great, or this is so bad. I just can't. Free yourself. There's no point of holding on to something that's not meant for you. There's no point in continuing to rehearse and replay all of that stuff from your past. It does not serve you well. On a spiritual thing, I'm not even talking Christianity at this moment, but on a spiritual thing, as you are raising your vibration, as you are focusing on positivity and you are looking at energy and the sources around you, mind you, I can bring it on back, hold on. As you are doing that, if you continue to dwell on your lower level, you will never reach your highest level. If you continue to ignore the small, still, quiet voice that's inside of you and not do check-ins with yourself, you will not reach your optimum potential. If you continue to deny that you've been set free and continue to act like, you know what, I'm just forever the victim, that's all you will be. You have got to start releasing those guilty feelings and stop blaming and punishing yourself. Stop blaming and punishing other people for someone else's mistake and choices. Free yourself. And so that may, for some people, look like writing yourself a letter. It may look like writing your abuser a letter. Like writing your ex a letter. I'm not saying you need to mail any of these. I'm just saying, get your thoughts together about this whole subject. Like, dang, I've been holding myself to this. But get your thoughts together with a pen and some paper, or type it out if that's your thing. I just think pen and paper makes it more personal. And then look what you really feel about that. Like, get someplace quiet, check in with yourself, write yourself a letter, write that other person a letter. Set the letter on fire, preferably outside. Let's not start any forest fires or house fires. And don't be trying to say that I told you to do it, but I'm telling you to do it, but just in a safe way. Set it on fire. And as it burns and the ashes, you know, start to float away and drift off, take some deep breaths. Like, you know what, I'm not held to that anymore. I'm not holding this other person to this anymore. Because oftentimes, this is what I'm saying, people hurt people. That means if someone has hurt themselves, they often will hurt or push that hurt onto you. They project anger, angry people. You know, they act out in different ways as well. I'm not saying, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying free yourself whenever you need to free yourself from, so that you can be a better version of yourself. And anywhere along the way, if you need help with that, just know that Bless the Note is here, an inbox away, an email away, whatever you need to do so we can help you release. And I'm a firm believer in writing stuff down and releasing it, because you would be surprised at stuff that we hold on to. So like when you're watching certain episodes on TV, or when you're having a simple conversation with people, then all of a sudden your voice is raised, you got all sorts of energy about the situation, you popping off, your neck turned to the side, you got a whole other attitude about it, or you got tears streaming down your face, and people looking at you like you're crazy because you have overreacted to something that was so simple. That's usually an unchecked area of your life. Write yourself a letter this weekend. That's it. That's what we want to do. That's the assignment of the week. Write yourself a letter. releasing yourself of your guilt. Stop blaming and punishing yourself. I get it. You've been guilty for so long, you don't know how to walk in a new life. And that's often the case with prisoners who've been incarcerated for many years. They don't know how to operate free and to be a part of, quote-unquote, normal society. And so then they commit little petty crimes so they can go back to jail because that's the norm. And so you may do something really silly and unwise, and then you put yourself back in a situation like, see, I knew I was a cheater. I knew I couldn't have a good relationship. I'm still this, that, now. That's when I, not who you are. That's what you've done. And that's two different things. That label is not something you need to wear. That's not your name. What is your name? What does your name mean? Live up to that. Don't live up to the labels. Live up to your name. Be who you're going to be. Make your name great. Make your name stand out. Be like, remember when Little John, man, he turned his life around. He used to be blah, blah, blah. Now he's blah, blah, blah. Because you know there's always going to be somebody to tell your story, but they can't tell your story if you don't give them a story to tell. So if you gave them one to tell back in the day, give them a new one to tell today. Because somebody's going to go run tell that. Give them something to say. Give them something good to say. Give them something wonderful to say. Because, again, you are not your behavior. Two different things. You're who you are. Your behavior is what it was. If it's a problem, an issue, or just totally out of order, you can change that. As long as you have breath, there's still options. As long as you have movement, there's still options. As long as your mind is functioning, there's still options. You can make that choice to do something different and be something different. So we're going to say that's what we're going to say about guilt and shame. It is emotional baggage. It does weigh you down, slow you down, and keep you from being the best version of you that you can be. Sometimes it eats you up. Sometimes it keeps you up. Whatever effect is happening in your life, as you write this letter this week, this weekend, you know, decide, is that what, do I want to continue on this way or do I want something better? And if I want something better, then I have to do something different. And can I really commit to me? Well, I've committed to my job. I've committed to the kids. But have you committed to you? So commit to you. Write the letter. Free yourself. It is not who you are. You're not what you did. Behavior and people are two different things. Stop walking around with your head down. Live up to your name. Live up to the legacy that you want to leave behind. Give people a different story because they're going to want to tell that anyway. So give them something different to say about you. Okay? Change is still possible. For who? For you, for me, for everyone. But it starts with a choice. And then that choice leads to commitment. Then that commitment leads to obligations, responsibility, accountability. And don't be too big, bad, bold, and brave. You're like, you know what, I apologize. Now, I'm sorry, because then you're labeling yourself negatively. That's a whole other issue for another show. But I apologize and mean that and then take action to do something different, to show, you know what, I do have remorse for how my actions affected you. It's doable. It's possible. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Couch Conversations, hosted by Rev J of Blessed and Know It Ministry. Guys, I want you to stay tuned to our Facebook page because we are on the edge of a new, oh my gosh, a new horizon, a new venture, and it is going to be great. But only those who are following Blessed and Know It on Facebook will find out. Okay, so stay tuned because it is so big. I can't even tell you yet, but it's big and I'm excited and it's only going to be on Facebook. So if you follow us on other forms of social media, great. We're going to keep pumping that out to you. But this big news that's about to happen, oh my gosh, it's only available for our Facebook followers. So stay tuned, stay in touch, write your letter. That's your homework. Be obedient. Thank you guys for tuning in. I so appreciate you rocking with me at 11 o'clock at night. Y'all have a great week. Rev J signing off. Bye-bye.